between 4:30, hereby declare the meeting open and welcome our guests in the gallery. And thank you for welcoming us to your lovely ship. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Wurundjeri Aboriginal people, paying respect to elders past, present and emerging. To advise the meeting that everyone here that this meeting is being recorded. The recording device is that lovely black thing on the chair. So if anyone is speaking, speak to the chair nice and clearly. Thank you. We then have our attendances here. Should be on the leave of absence, should it not? Under apologies or under leave of absence?
It's a request for leave of absence.
Under the apologies, yeah. Councillor Tony Dean, our president, is absent tonight and has asked for a leave of absence due to a medical procedure. Can we have someone move that? Councillor Brown, seconded. Councillor Curtis, all in agreement? Carried. So therefore that the approval of absence becomes his leave of absence. And that also covers the application of leave of absence. Confirmation of minutes, special council meeting of the 21st of October. We have a mover, a seconder. Moved, Councillor Sully. Seconded, Councillor Tan. Any issues with those minutes? All those in favour? The minutes of the ordinary council meeting of the 23rd of October. Mover. Councillor Sly. Senator Councillor Curtis. Any issues with those minutes? All those in favour? Passed. Announcements from a presiding member. I have an announcement. I wish to acknowledge the passing of a Nanup legend, Shirley Humble, at 96 years of age, 28th of September 1929 to the 19th of November 2025. I always knew and called her Mrs. Humble because she elicited respect from those who knew her. She was a long-serving member of the Nanup community, involved and caring. She served as the Shire's first female councillor from 1971 to 1983. And the Shirley Humble Room in the Shire office is named in her honour. She was a long-serving Justice of the Peace and was a mentor to me in my early days as a Justice in Nanup. She always measured her words before speaking, and I, like many in Nanup, held her in the highest esteem. I was blessed to speak with her earlier this year on one of her many visits to Nanup. She told me she would always consider Nanup home. May we treasure her memory. Thank you. Disclosures of interest. I have one from the CEO, David Taylor, on agenda item 11.2, the nature of the interest, which is an impartiality, is because his wife is a volunteer at that organisation. So,
doing the activity.
It's a part of the volunteer. We then have question time, which is so that anyone can come up and ask questions. If you're doing so, just, I don't think you have to come forward, because just make sure you're facing the magic green chair. Stand up, give your name and your address, and ask questions.
I'll start. bit self-interest, but the plantation.
I've got to say my name is and
Tim,
my address.
Tim Prosser. Address is 1225 Men Out Coast Road, so just over the corner. We are currently rated under the plantation rates thing, and I've got no problem with plantations being rated differently provided they're a commercial plantation. Our property is less than 5% plantation, so of our 840 hectares, we have 40 hectares of blue gums. So less than 5% of our entire land holding is under blue gum plantation, yet we are rated as a plantation for our property. I can understand the reasons why the variable rate was brought in for truck movements, everything else. The truck movements on that 40 hectares of plantation will be less than our farm for the other, if you average it out over the 12 years of the contract. So that sort of doesn't float for our size. It was put in also because you lose community members, you lose volunteers when plantations are bought in and bought up properties, which again doesn't really relate to our property. And our property is not the only one in the Shire that is rated with plantation rates on when it's not a full plantation property.
Yeah. So if your question is on that, we have a concession available.
So the concession is minimal compared to the increase on the rates which we pay, purely because of the size of the plantation. So it adds roughly, I think it's about $4,000 onto our rates for a 5% of our property being under plantation, which I don't think is, so we get a $500 rebate on a $4,000 rate, which is, I don't think is completely fair on a 5% part of our property. There, I can see a couple of different ways of doing it. I don't know how practical it is under Shire rates, but actually rate the area that is plantation as a plantation and the rest of the area as farming, which it is, which would be, or other properties in the Shire could be accommodation, could be however they're rated. So you're actually rating your plantation proportion of your block as plantation, which would then come into effect and do what it is designed for. The other way you could do it is actually, if you could prove that your income percentage from the rest of your property is your primary form of income, rate it on the form of income that is your primary form of income. So like how we can easily prove.
So your question is?
Can it be looked at differently to make it more equitable for properties such as ours that have such a small area of plantation, yet we are rated on, so our 40 hectares means our 840 hectares is rated at the same rate as that 40 hectares. I don't see it as being equitable or fair. So my question is there a way, or is there movement in that rate differentiation to actually make it more equitable for properties that have such small areas of plantation compared to their actual primary income?
Yes.
Thank you. Good question. Obviously, unique situation you've got there as well. Seems like there's only a few. We are developing a rate because we've looked at rating across the board, and there's other categories that could be rated and aren't being rated and things like that as well. So we are developing, in the new year, we'll be starting to develop a rating strategy, and that can be something that we can consider as part of that to see if there's another way to do that.
Yeah.
You can do split rating and spot rating and the likes, but the means of differentially categorising the plantation, the existence of, I believe it was over 10 hectares of plantation on the property was what flipped you into that category.
Yep.
But I can appreciate your
point of view. When it's less than 5%.
I think it's quite a complex answer to give now. Yep. So I reckon what we'll do is we'll listen to that and we'll see how it can pan through when it comes to that rating strategy being developed.
Anyone else wish to ask questions? We now have a presentation by from Ray Russell, Lower Donnie River Conservation Association.
Say my name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ray Russell. I'm the chairman of the Lower Donnie River Conservation Association, which represents all the hut owners at the Lower Donnelly. Down there, probably already aware of this, but I'll just say very briefly, there's 33 out of 43 huts down there that are in the Nanup Shire, on the Nanup side of the river. We've been ratepayers since, for 11 years, counting there, 2015. Now I've lost my train of thought with that, sorry. We've been ratepayers for 11 years, and I wouldn't say we've been happy about the situation down there, because we feel that we're in a very unique situation where DVCA, we have a lease with DVCA that gives us our property rights. We're completely surrounded by National Park, and to get access to the property is by boat only. And most of you would know that, most of the councillors know that, because you actually visited there last year. We're quite different to most other ratepayers, if not all other ratepayers in the Shire. And that's basically because of the lease situation, the remoteness, the access. We have to provide our own utilities. We also provide our own fire brigade down there with assistance through our emergency services levy and the via the Nanup Shire as well. So, and I don't think there's any argument that we don't receive any direct services from the Shire. There's nothing that we get directly from there, simply we are not able to provide a direct service. And the indirect services are very few and far between. Why that's likely to change today, in a small but very appreciative way, with the Ferrison funding for our feral pig baiting program. Maybe I should have brought my notes with me. It might have been a better idea. I've got them sitting in the car. We also are unable.
Would it help you to grab your notes? Do you think?
One will go. I'll see.
We just don't watch. I mean, we want to hear what you have to say. But
yeah.
Having trouble.
I'm right. I've sort of, what I've done now is I've jumbled up the order a little bit, so that's right. Messing me around. And now I've lost track of it again. We can't use any of the facilities that are in Nanup purely because of our location. It's just not feasible. I know that's not the fault of the Nanup Shire, and it's not our fault either. It's just the way it is. I'm not standing here saying we want something for nothing. We understand that we have an obligation to help fund the Shire, and we're quite happy to do that. We just feel that given our unique situation, that there should be some sort of consideration given for our circumstances. Our situation. We pay minimum rates under UV rather than GRV. So that means we're actually paying nearly $100 more than what 322 minimum ratepayers, who I'll assume are mostly in Nanup Townsite, pay. And they have all of the benefits of what the Shire has to offer there. So when you're making a comparison between what we have and what the other minimum ratepayers have, to my mind, there is no comparison. There's a massive difference. So I think what is the motion that has been put forward that's on today's agenda would go along, proposing a concession will go a long way towards redressing that inconsistency. And I know it's not easy with rating. I mean, we've just heard the story then about plantations. There's a lot of inconsistencies in rating. I know, from my own experience, it seems to be the Shires are now looking at differential rating a lot more than what they used to. But I know the system just doesn't work for us. And our best hope, our only hope to make it, I think, fair and more reputable is for this concession to be approved. also going to, there's a few other things I just wanted to explain, one of them being our ability to rent the huts out down there. When we first got the lease from DBCA, it was actually a requirement that we have a public use plan. And in that public use plan was a proposed trial for, well, not proposed, we had to have the trial, but we did have a trial for 3 years, turned into 4 years, of having huts available for rent. Now, the outcome was it just didn't work from either side. It didn't work for people wanting to rent, didn't work for people trying to rent the huts out. It's just, it's way too difficult given our seclusion down there, the remoteness, the access by boat. We have, I suppose sporadic is a good word for it, the mobile phone coverage. It doesn't work. Some huts, you have to have a booster to get any coverage at all. Some have boosters, some don't. The boosters sometimes work, sometimes don't. There was major issues with the change from 3G to 4G, sort of working our way through that. So communication's an issue. We provide all our own utilities. Each hut is different, but even if I, for instance, was to rent someone else's hut to stay there for a couple of days, I wouldn't know my way around their hut. I wouldn't know how it works. There's too many things that can go wrong. I mean, I could stand here all night telling you how it just doesn't work. It's just not feasible. I wouldn't even go down the path of mentioning insurance, like what would happen there, you know, if we did do that, to get the adequate insurance. We've got so many dramas with insurance as is. So that as well is another reason why it's just not viable. And here goes my train of thought again. there was one other thing I was going to say about the renting. Insurance I mentioned. That's right, back to the public use plan. It's been now been accepted by Parks and Wildlife, DBCA, that it just wouldn't work. We had some lengthy meetings with them, that they're well aware of what happened. It's still, if you look at a lease, it's still in the lease, there's mention made of it, but no one actually rents their huts out. That's what I was going to say. If we could do that and we could charge for that, I wouldn't be here now. And no one down there would be unhappy. If we could make money to cover our costs, our renting part out for a week or 2 weeks a year, that would be probably an ideal solution for everyone. But it's just not feasible, it just doesn't happen. The other thing I wanted to mention was I do understand that if you look favourably on us today, you are, or to do that, you would be setting a precedent. But I just want to highlight the fact that you'd be setting it for people with a DBCA lease with a property in a national park. And to the best of my knowledge, we're certainly, to the best of my knowledge, the only ones in the Nanupshire. There are another couple, because some at Broke Inlet and some at Gardner River in the Manjimupshire, another four or five. But we are the only ones. And then one last thing is, I know we've come up for debate in both shires, Manjimupshire and Nanupshire before, and there's been mention of how privileged we are to be there and how lucky we are to be there. I just don't see that as being relevant to the argument. To say that someone's privileged, I think, it's a subjective opinion, and it has no relevance towards developing a rating program or arriving at a rating figure. I, for instance, think that everyone that lives in Western Australia south of Perth is privileged to do so, but that has no impact on what they should pay for rates. So from out of time, I guess they're not.
You've got a bit to go,
you want
to sum up?
That's about it. Look, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Thank you for also bringing the matter up for discussion. Thanks.
Does anyone counsel this vote?
Oh, yeah.
A question that's arisen from that.
Does the Shire provide telecommunications, water, power and insurance to other members of the Nanup community?
Well, the question is direct on that, did we say, but
who provides telecommunications? to the people in, does the Shire provide it or do the telcos provide it?
No, we just have a booster so that we can get mobile phone reception. That's it.
And would your, do you believe that your rates would cover that service from the Shire?
No. And I don't expect them to. We don't think that communications should be, or any of those utilities. No, that's not something that rates should cover. That's not what I'm saying if I gave that impression.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have then have reports by members attending committees. Councillor Tang.
Yes, on the 5th of November, I attended the LEMAC, followed by the LEMAC and UCI meetings at the NLPCS. On the 6th of November, I had my orientation meeting with Raymond Taylor at the Shire offices. On the 13th of November, I attended the strategic forum in Shire Chambers. And on the 21st of November, I attended the new council induction training at the Shire Chambers. Thank you.
Councillor Sly.
13th of November, strategic forum in the council chambers. 14th of November, an op shop, a meeting with the volunteers. 26th of November, a meeting with Devon Heats. And today, 27th of November, concept forum and boardroom council meeting.
Councillor Brown.
On the 3rd of November, I presided at the VPAC meeting. 13th of November, Australia Day committee meeting, followed by the strategic forum. The 20th of November, I represented the Shire of Mallow at the Blackwood Valley Wine Show Judges Dinner. And on the 21st of November, I represented the Shire of Mallow again at presenting three wine show awards. 21st of November, Councillor Governance Training for new councillors and refresher. On the 22nd of November, I attended the official opening of the Cunnanup Volunteer Bushfire Brigade Shed, as well as a presentation of a 65-year service award to Mr. Brian Thomas, who was a past FCO of that brigade and was also a Chief Bushfire Control Officer of the Shire of Mallow. Interestingly, Mr. Thomas was integral in getting the first fire brigade vehicle from DFS in the Nanup Shire. I believe that was a truck that went to Jarrabah Brigade. At the opening, there was also the official handover of the Scott River Lake Jasper unit, which is just next door. And we'll talk to the guys about that one later. Apparently that has some feedback to DFS. On the 25th of November, I attended the Nanup District High School International Big Picture Learning Information Session, which was very interesting. And earlier today, the concept forum. Thank you.
Councillor Fraser.
The 13th is the strategic forum, and Friday the 21st is the councillor training and refresher course, and also Saturday the 22nd also went out to Cunnanup Fire Chief grand opening.
5th of November, I attended the Nanup Chamber of Commerce Industry meeting. The 21st of November, I Council of Training, 22nd of November, the opening of the Cunnanup Fire Shed, 25th of November, the Nanup High School presentation on becoming an international big picture school, which was, I found, very exciting for the school and what's coming up. If you have got kids who are heading into high school, I think it's some exciting times coming up for the kids there. And then on the 27th, concept for our manager.
Thank you. On the 27th of October, did a full day training course as an accidental counsellor, and that was as part of the LDAB committee. 13th of November, the Australia Day Advisory Committee. 13th of November, the Strategic Forum, which I chaired. The 18th of November, the Digital Information Library Session. The 19th of November, had an online video meeting with the Minister for the South West on Punch, with Councillor Dean and the CEO David Taylor. Myself, we had a 1.5 hour meeting where we were able to bring up the three most important issues that we are asking the state to help our Shire with. The 21st of November, Shire Councillor Training. 25th of November, the NDHS presentation on the Big Picture Program School, and earlier today the concert forum. Thank you. We are going to adjust the agenda and bring forward item 12. Item 12.1, and this is because our visitor, Russ, has an interest in this, and he needs to get back up the river before it gets dark. So, to accommodate him, bringing that forward. So, just move 12.1. Remover for this item. Moved by Councillor Slaw. Seconded. Seconded. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Slaw.
The Lowdoni River property is located within the Camp Astro National Park. This is a 33 in the Shire and Outside River that form part of a unique settlement of historic and cultural significance. These huts are in an isolated location where the Shire has no capacity to deliver any direct services. There are no roads or public access to the hut area located in the river in the Shire of Manor. Access to the settlement is restricted to a 12-kilometre boat journey along the Donnelly River. There are huts located on the opposite bank of the Donnelly River which fall under the remit of the Shire of Manor. Access to the Shire Management Settlement is via the Department of Biodiversity, Conservation Attractions, DBC Air Road, to which the Shire Management makes no contribution for maintenance. In setting the framework for hut leases, it is acknowledged that the Lower Donnelly River huts are distinct from most of the properties within the Shire due to their remoteness and absence of Shire-provided services and infrastructure. It is further noted that the Shire Management Council on their 30th September 2025 ordinary council meeting passed motion 29574, which introduced a 70% cap on the minimum rates for the 26-27 and agreed a rebate of 30% in the 2025-26 budget. Further, the motion noted that consistency across remote settlements is still evolving. Given these circumstances, it is proposed that Council consider applying a 30% concession to the minimum rate on the Lower Donnelly River huts rates notices within the Shire of Manjimup. The minimum rate in 25-26, which is this current year, to 25-10, a 30% concession based on this will equate to a loss of rate revenue of $14,949, which is equivalent to 0.52% of the total rates for the 25-26 financial year. The rationale for this discount includes recognition of the lack of services delivered to the site. The Lower Donnelly properties are isolated and uniquely Department of Biodiversity, Conservation and Attraction leasehold, subject to owners' conditions, restrictions and requirements. Support for the long-term sustainability and maintenance of this unique heritage settlement. The huts are not available to rent. Elevated insurance, legal compliance, isolation, difficulty of access and self-sufficiency for all utilities makes it practically unworkable to secure an income stream on these properties. Rating consists of this remote settlement across Shire Manor and Shire Manjimup. The Council's decision on this matter will provide clarity and equity for hut owners whilst establishing a fair basis into the future.
Councillor Curtis.
First off, the payment rates to Shire councils are the lifeblood of local communities. They sustain essential services, maintain vital infrastructure, and contribute to the well-being of residents by providing community grants and programs to the community. I have asked myself many questions and debated the pros and cons of introducing a 30% rate reduction for the Lower Donnelly River. see the reasoning with these residents in requesting the reduction. And my logical brain says if we as a Shire can apply differential rates to increase rates across specific ratepayers, we should be able to apply rate reductions as well. The problem I can see with this is that no one is going to champion to have their rates included in the differential rate increases, but many would want to argue that their property should have a discount if similar in any way to the properties given a discount. Therefore, this decision sets precedence for all rate payers now and needs thorough consideration. There is no question these properties are remote, but they are not the only remote areas in Nanup. Scott River, for example, is 48 kilometres from Nanup and pays rates in the Shire of Nanup. They are 44 kilometres from Margaret River and only 17 kilometres from Augusta. So one could argue that they would utilise these towns over Nanup for services and supplies and therefore apply for a rate reduction. There seems to be a focus on the fact that these huts cannot make an income stream from renting these properties, as was in the original lease. Only 2.4% of WA population own a holiday home, and we are not all fortunate to own one. But only 2.4%. It's a very small amount of the population. It's not the primary source of where they live. And if you could make income from renting these properties, we would be having a very different debate here, as you would be classified as an unhosted accommodation and then subject to large differential rating increases. I also struggle with the concept that Shire of Nanup has no capacity to deliver any direct services to the site. The residents have the same opportunities to apply to deliver the grants and receive firefighting equipment from the Shire. They also have the choice whether they come to town and shop for supplies during their stay at their house. The residents state that most owners do not travel through Nanup at all to access their huts and therefore do not use any of the services in Nanup, but that choice is theirs. The services are available for these residents to use, but after visiting the site, I can see why you would choose not to leave, as it's truly a stunning location. All in all, I have weighed up whether or not this site achieves enough clarity in the situation as not to set a precedent for other ratepayers in Nanup to make similar claims, as well as how the loss of income will affect the Nanup community.
Anyone else wish to speak? Nelson Brown?
Firstly, I'd like to thank Mr. Russell for coming along to the meeting and presenting on this matter. I understand and appreciate the challenges faced by the Donnelly River hut owners. The Lower Donnelly is a place of remarkable beauty, remote, unique, and I am sure for hut owners, a small slice of paradise. I felt genuinely privileged, along with other councillors, to have the opportunity to visit and view the cottages firsthand, and I sincerely thank the hut owners for making that possible. Maintaining the huts in such an isolated and special environment comes with obligations and costs that many other ratepayers do not experience. I acknowledge those challenges. However, despite this understanding, I cannot support recommendation 12.1. Granting a 30% concession would set a precedent the Shire cannot sustain. Many ratepayers across Nanup would also argue that they receive limited direct services due to distance or Shire boundaries, and yet they pay full rates. Meeting here today in the Scott River locality is a perfect example of distance and isolation. Although it does not involve a boat trip down the river, it highlights that many residents live far from the Shire's main services. We begin to offer concessions on the basis of service level access. Many others will have reason to expect the same. Every location has its disadvantages, just as some have very special advantages. It is what it is. Although I do not feel we should compare Nanup Shire to other local governments, the agenda specifically references the Shire of Nanup's decision to provide concessions as a reason for the Shire of Nanup to do so also. Because of that, I'm obliged to address that comparison and its context. Nanup has a much smaller financial capacity. Shire of Nanup has only 10 huts in this catchment, while Nanup has 33, more than three times as many. The financial implications are therefore very different. Nanup's total rate revenue is about $12.68 million, so their reduction of $3,885 rate income
is insignificant. The amount of a reduction of $14,949 must come from the total rate revenue of around about $6.6 million. Not sure if that's totally correct, but a far more substantial burden on our smaller rate base. To further put this into perspective, the Shire of Manjimup has the capacity to enable it to allocate 2.5% of its total operating income to community fund programs each year. According to its 24-25 budget, that's around $500,000. The Shire now allocates $25,000 to its community grants annually. In context, a concession of $14,949 to the Donnelly River ratepayers would equate to approximately 60% of our entire community grants program. For a small Shire like ours, this is a significant impact. The context behind Manjimup's decision is important. From the audio recording of their council meeting, it was clear their motion was initiated by the fact that they have other similar huts in national park areas, Broken Inlet, Garden River and Kalka. These are yet to be rated. Shire of Manjimup Council's felt it was inequitable to fully rate the Donnelly River huts while similar lease arrangements elsewhere were unrated. Although the motion was carried, it was a 3-7 vote against, for the motion. So three councillors voted against the recommendation. We should not automatically follow another Shire's decision simply because they made one. State government lease agreements with the hut owners clearly state that the Donnelly River huts cannot be used as permanent residences. The Department of Biodiversity, Conservation Attractions interprets short stays a maximum of 28 consecutive days. This interpretation is reinforced by clause 9.26, which expressly prohibits the leasee from using the hut as a residence. The overarching management objective of the Sharon and Dickon and the National Park Plan number 71/2012 is to retain the huts for public use, not long-term occupancy. For this reason, the leases include provisions requiring leases to use their best endeavours to facilitate ongoing public access. Collectively, these conditions make clear that the Donnelly River huts are not primary homes, but are intended to operate exclusively as holiday huts made available for short-term recreation stay by their owners. At the same time, many now residents are struggling to pay rates in the homes they actually live in every day, and they are not offered concessions. While it is noted in the comments and by the presentation by Mr. Russell today, the huts are not currently available to rent due to elevated insurance, legal compliance requirements, isolation, difficult access, and need for self-sufficiency in utilities, and that previous attempts to provide them commercially did not work. This does not necessarily mean that it may never be possible in the future. Circumstances, management approaches and demand can change over time, and what could have proved unworkable in the past may become feasible under different conditions. It is important to recognise that temporary limitations should not automatically form a basis for ongoing concessions. However, should the huts be made available for hire in the future, the Shire of Manjimup's short-term accommodation differential may apply. An approval concession rate now would create further complications in ensuring that huts provided to guests on short stay rental basis are then rated consistently with other properties generating short-term rental income in the Shire of Manjimup. Rates and taxes are a shared community responsibility. Local government rates are akin to state and federal taxes. None of us enjoy paying them, but they are essential. And at state and federal levels, we all contribute taxes that pay for services that we may never personally use, such as child care, border protection, hospitals, schools, disability support and social security and so on. Similarly, with the Shire of Manjimup, some services may be used by some residents but not others. But those services still need to exist and they still need to be funded. A fair rating system works because everybody contributes to the whole, not just to the services that they personally access. For these reasons, equity, financial responsibility and fairness to all ratepayers do not believe this concession is justified. I want to stress again that this position is not taken without empathy or appreciation for the uniqueness of the huts or the passion of their owners. It is simply a recognition of the responsibility we have to all ratepayers in the Shire.
Mr. Speak. Therefore, put the motion to introduce 30% concession on the minimum rate of the Bundoran River properties included in 2026-2027 budget, and apply 30% concession on the minimum rate of lower Donny River Hut properties against the current 2025-2026 budget. All those in favour? All those against? The motion is lost. 5-1. Move back to item 11.1. Proposed dates for the ordinary council and audit risk meetings for 2026.
Does cross it off a lot and double check it to get this to happen. But that being said, we are here to serve the council and the community, and ultimately the decision to go and take it on the road is a council decision, and my point of view is that it has been a really good way to connect with community and share that love, but ultimately it is a council's decision.
So we will, so the board will resume standing orders. We move back, Councillor Brown and Councillor Smyth. Thank you. And we all support that. Therefore, we're going to put that at, no, we've needed a rescinded order without moving or seconded. We haven't got to move for a second before. No, we don't. Yep. So, we need a move and second. Okay, moved by Councillor Curtis, seconded by Councillor Brown. Do you speak to it?
I just wanted to acknowledge the staff in their work in organising on off-site meetings. We do recognise that it is a lot to organise, but they do it so well. And I'd just like to move the recommendation as written on page 9 of the agenda.
And you move it with just that change of month being to September, and that we are acknowledge that we're putting in a December meeting. All those in favour? Councillor and the board against? All those against? Councillor Rogers against? Carried.
School,
yep. But not the student, and that's how it's that was its original intention. If you want to change that intention, then maybe in the future you can give it up with another thing, but this one was to support the school.
Thank you.
That's
fine.
Anyone else has any questions? One, two, resume standing orders. Councillor Sly, Councillor Brown, Kerry,
yep.
Owen. Now, we need a mover and a seconder for this motion. Moved. Councillor Curtis, seconded. Councillor Tang, Councillor Curtis.
Request from the Nanak District Council for the Shire of Nanak to provide funds of $1,200 for their annual Further Studies Award, which will be presented to a graduating student who demonstrates academic achievement, community involvement, and aspirations for further education. The Shire has historically supported this award, providing funds in amounts ranging from $1,100 to $1,200. An amount of $1,000 is currently allocated in the Shire's annual budget, so this request for $1,200 will require a budget variation to ensure sufficient funds are available. As this award funding is recurring in nature, it makes sense that the grants and donations policy be amended to formally expand the scope of the policy to include provisions for education and youth development. Amending the policy will provide clear framework for future funding decisions. An additional amendment to include the policy to include the Executive Manager of Corporate Services to be a designated decision maker along with the CEO to cover any conflicts of interest situations is also recommended. This award aligns with the Shire's strategic community plan to support youth development, education and lifetime learning. Everyone like to move. That council approves an amount of $1,200 to support the Nanak District High School Further Studies Award for 2025. Also notes that that a budget variation will be included in the statutory mid-year budget review to be presented to council in February 2026 and authorises Shire President to present the award at the Nanak District High School graduation ceremony and adopt the amended Shire community donations and grants funding policy showing as a factor of 11.2.1 to make provision for future funding to the Nanak District High School Further Studies Annual Award and to add the Executive Manager Corporate Services as a decision maker where the Chief Executive Officer has a conflict of interest.
Councillor
Scott?
Oh,
okay,
sorry. Nothing
further to that.
Anybody else wish to speak to it?
Yeah, I just think it's like, it makes sense to amend that the community donations and grant funding policy as attachment 11.2.1 and that provision for future funding to the district high school for this award.
Put the motion as it's stated on page 12. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 11.3, Shire Nanak Bushfire Brigade Local Laws 2025. Mover. Councillor Brown, seconder. Seconder. Please, somebody second. Councillor Curtis.
I just think there's probably a change as a clerical error in there. They've written down mayor instead of Shire President. I'm assuming it should be Shire President. Under point 5, the last sentence where it says so notes of submission and suggested amendments provided by DFS is outlined on page 16, which are of minor nature. Not alter the intent of the law. We recommend customers vote in favour of the recommendation as written. Point 1 notes the submission. Point 2 accords to section 312(4) of the local government that makes the Shire and the Bushfire Brigade's local laws attachment 11.31. Point 3 the Shire administration to A publish the law in the Government Gazette and B provides a copy to the Foreign Emergency Services Minister and Minister for Local Government. Point 4 gives local public notice of the Gazette and point
Steve. As the recommendation as per on page 18, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 4, community grant request for the Lower Donny River Conservation Association feral pig baiting system. Mover, Councillor Brown. Seconder, Councillor Sly. Councillor Brown.
I would like to push an amendment to the recommendation. I'd like to. What's the process?
We moved it, we seconded it there.
So,
okay, what, yeah. Do you wish to put it forward as a put it forward as a motion?
So I just wanted to add into the recommendation that a brief report on the effectiveness of the feral pig baiting system be provided by the Donny River Conservation Association in addition to their community grant program.
I think
it's
a great idea. Yeah. Okay. So you support that? Second? Right, so that becomes the motion. Now, do you speak to the motion?
Yes, I do. By requesting a report on the effectiveness of the baiting system, Council can achieve several outcomes. It can provide evidence of results to support Council and other community groups in seeking funding from other avenues, as well as assisting other groups in understanding what works in feral pig management. I wholeheartedly support the recommendation of Council to approve the request from the Donny River Conservation Association of $3,000 for the purchase of a feral pig baiting system and funds be allocated from the 25-26 Community Grants Program. Feral pigs are a significant and growing problem within the Shire of Mount, particularly given that 85% of our Shire area is forestry and plantations, which provide ideal habitat for their proliferation. The impact of feral pigs on native ecosystems, waterways and agriculture land is well documented, and effective control measures are essential to protecting our nation's natural environment and economic value of our forestry and farmland. I personally hope that more can be done in Shire of Mount in the future to address the feral pig issue. The request for funding for $3,000 for hog gone feeding crops and associated equipment is a practical type of measure that will support the Lower Donny River Conservation Association in partnership with the DCA to reduce local feral pig populations. I encourage councils to support this recommendation and congratulate and thank the Lower Donny River Conservation Association in their concerted efforts to maintain feral pigs in their area.
Completely agree with Councillor Brown, and I agree that having a report afterwards is a very good thing for us. We sort of might put over intention to sort of see whether it will work elsewhere as well. So yeah, I absolutely agree with it.
Anyone else wish to speak?
I would like to say, after attending the Donald River Hut site earlier this year, I did get to see firsthand the damage that pigs are doing, and I've never seen that before, so it was a real eye opener for me. They are causing soil erosion and destabilisation of the riverbanks, as well as destroying native plants. This group of hut owners believe they can make a real difference to the problem of this hog gone system, which we use in conjunction with the DBCA program, and I understand that the problem is even worse than when we went out there earlier in the year. Therefore, the urgency is required to start the program. So.
Anyone else? The motion as it is written on page 22. All those in favour?
Thank you.
No, because it becomes a substantive motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. The 11.5, which is about changing a budget amendment to cover the early years apprenticeship. Mover. Councillor Curtis, Senator. Councillor Brown.
The Nanak Family Collective have secured funding of $8,000 for Lockbury West and $50,000 for Talisman Lithium. For additional nature play equipment at the Nanup Early Years Precinct. The Early Years Precinct is a collaboration between the Shire of Nanup and the Family Collective Inc. and supporting partners.
Shire is responsible for accepting the funds. What a fantastic success for the family collective to secure these funds, and I look forward to seeing the final result in this space. We'd like to move that council approve a budget amendment of $58,000 for additional specially paid equipment, which will be funded by Lottery Square, and extra play equipment funded by Telecom Lithium, with costs to be recouped from the Nanak family collective.
It's just noting that there is amendments, essentially a neutral adjustment in the budget, as the additional expenditure is fully offset by grant funding secured by the group, meaning that the Shire's net outlay remains unchanged.
Anyone else wish to speak? I put the motion as appears on page 26. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 11.6, budget amendment request. I'm on phase 3 funding for Grange Road car park. And, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Sly. Councillor Brown.
Yep, just catching up.
I recommend the council approve the following amendments to the Shire minutes adopted 25-26 annual budget to recognise the LRCR phase 3 funding and the Grange Road car park project. Increase of the Grange Road car park budget from zero to a proposed expenditure of $445,644, fully offset by the proposed grant income of $445,644. This amendment allows the project to proceed with full funding and necessary approvals in place, delivering 64 car park bays, including two ACROC compliant accessible bays with safe access and efficient internal circulation to meet community and accessible standards. And I recommend councillors support the motion as printed on page 29.
Anybody else wish to speak? Put that the offer recommendation as per page 29. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 11.7, delegated training decisions. Whoops, over. Move Councillor Sly. That was a half motion. Was this right over here?
Yeah.
Seconded.
Switch
requires
question. Councillor Curtis. Okay, now obviously recommendations. The council receives the report and delegated development approvals for October 25 as per attachment 11.7.1.
Thank you. Add. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 11.8, amendment of schedule of fees and charges. Here's on page 36. Councillor Sly. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Sly.
Perhaps in this ordinary council meeting held 28th of August 25 adopted its annual budget and schedule of fees and charges for the 25-26 financial year. Since adoption, staff have received further clarity on the ATO determination GST 2024/2 section 58-61 and permission required to exercise bearer rights, fees or charges excluded from GST. In accordance with the ATO determination, effective since 4th December 24, Shire of Nanak is required to amend its schedule of fees and charges to reflect the correct treatment of GST. The change ensures compliance with the latest tax rulings and reflects our commitment to provide a transparent and accurate fee structure. So the recommendations of council by absolute majority amend the 25-26 schedule of fees and charges as follows with immediate effect and required local public notice. Under the heading cemetery right burial, memorials change GST indicator from yes to no. License fees change GST indicator from yes to no.
Councillor Curtis.
Councillor Sly.
Councillor 7.9, sponsorship of Manor District High School Parent Teachers Association, Carol's Cry, Northside. Move and second, please. Moved. Councillor Curtis. Seconded, Councillor Sloan.
The Nanup District High School PNC has assumed responsibility for delivering the annual Community Carols by Torchlight event. The event was previously run by the Nanup Chamber of Commerce and Industry with the support from the Shire's Community Grants Program. The request is a $600 cash sponsorship and a $335 in Shire fee waiver. Due to the timing of the transition from the Nanup Chamber to the PNC, the group was unable to apply for funding through round two of the Shire's Community Grant Program. This is a popular community event, and I move that Council support the request to sponsor the event to the total value of $935 this year.
Anybody else wish to speak? Councillor Brown?
I'm going to come across as the Christmas Grinch here because I'll be voting against this item. I know it's only a small amount, but it's the principle. I note that from the attached email through, the in-kind support had already been provided by... this request ideally should have been submitted through the Community Grants Program. I understand the timing. But I also feel that if the group had applied for $600 or less, it could have been dealt with by the CEO. The committee has not yet assessed the applications that were submitted to the community grants. Supporting this recommendation would effectively allow PNC's request to leapfrog those applications currently waiting to be considered, undermining the integrity of the process. To be clear, this situation differs significantly from item 11.4, which did not originate as a community grant process. The Shire's two community grants each year to provide a time and structured process for group seeking funding and to minimise the need for small funding requests to be escalated to council members, taking up valuable staff time preparing agenda items and councillor time to consider them. I appreciate that this is the first year the PNC has taken on organising the event and they may still be becoming familiar with the associated cost and the process. The attached email explains the nature of $600 is primarily to book a second face painter to reduce the queues, which is understandable. However, a traditional fee for a face painter in previous years is between $150 and $200. The electrical tagging, which is mentioned also, of the NCCI PA system had already been completed recently by the community cinema. The attached correspondent also notes that PNC has secured $500 in additional sponsorship, which is commendable. If the expenditure in this item is supported, the total budget for Carols by Torchlight would be $1,435, which I believe is well above what the budget has been for that event in previous years. My position is based on the principle that while the Shire should contribute should continue to provide in-kind support and at some levels some cash support, so that this will remain a community event. I hope the PNC do not transition this event into a fundraising activity and that proper grant processes could be followed in the future. Continuing on from my Christmas Grinch persona, I have spent way more time on this agenda item than I would like to have done. If this motion is defeated, the CEO retains the authority to approve support up to the value of $600. Should this event be intended as a fundraiser and the motion be lost, I would personally be willing to make a cash contribution. And so I would be voting against this item.
Anyone else wish to speak on it? Put the recommendation as a piece of different. No, I didn't. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I asked. You should have it.
My hand.
Sorry. Please speak.
Okay. I would like to upset Christmas Grinch here. Children, we have not too many in town now. The town is slowly dying with the older population, and Christmas is supposed to be for everybody. I'm pretty sure we can pass $635, Grinchy. And I would be definitely voting for these. The children need something, paint their face, make a course of $600, but if you get an expert artist in, you'll get a very, very good looking butterfly. It's also for their ice creams and their lollies, and Christmas is ice cream and lollies, so I'll be definitely voting for this. True, they should have got their community grant in order before, and like Councillor Brown said, they could have done $600 or the bit of the CEO, but they are still learning, so hopefully next year they'll, if we're still a town and Christmas like this is still around, they will make their grant earlier.
No one else wishes to speak, Mr. Hand. Yes. Right, reply.
Yeah, I too would like to accept the Christmas Grinch, but totally understand where you're coming from. But I think the PNs, it would be for children who missed out if we didn't grant this. And I think supporting the kids in our town is should be one of our priorities, especially around Christmas. I agree with Councillor Fraser on that. I think, yeah, the PNC have got a few things to learn. And I think it was complicated by the transition from the Chamber to the PNC, and that's where the complications have come in. I don't think that would happen if the event wasn't being transferred between two parties. So I would encourage the members to vote for the kids.
Any other questions to speak? Put the motion as it appears on page 39. All those in favour? All those against? Item 11.10, payment of accounts. Motion appears on page 42. All those in favour? Mover, please. Yep. Councillor Sly, seconder. Councillor Fraser. Councillor
Slough. Recommendation the council notes the payment of the accounts totaling $671,716.91 for the period 1st of October to 31st of October 2025 as per attachments 11.10.1. And over to Councillor Fraser.
This is just a bit of a dumb thing that we must do as councillors to make sure we know what money is going in and also what money is going out.
Anyone else? Anyone got any queries on that? Okay, put the motion as appears on page 42. All those in favour?
$120,000 for government road.
the Southern Bridges Shed Park project. Award tender. Someone to move? Councillor Brown, second to move. Aye.
So we had six compliance submissions, which were evaluated independently by a qualified panel on against the wage criteria, including experience, capability, understanding, sustainability and price, ensuring a balanced and value for money comparison. Following through the evaluation, providing relevance achieved the highest overall score, primarily due to their competitive pricing, and it's recommended as the preferred contractor. So I recommend that the tender be awarded RFT2025-01 to Carboni Brothers by Limited for $810,000. Reflects a robust assessment process and secures the best product for cost and ensuring high quality to use it off the Southern Bridges Shared Project.
Nothing further. Anybody else wish to speak to it? Yes,
has this been a long process trying to get two crossings over the Nanup Brook and the Carlotta Brook to safe passage for all the people that are on bike or foot or horse? Safe water in use that they come across the river instead of crossing the bridge. And so I'm looking forward to all this to keep the traffic off. When you cross the river, crossing the bridge on vehicles, you will not be even trying to avoid people, also vehicles, so we look forward to this grand opening next year, next summer. We'll hopefully come under budget and on time, and we'll be all very happy.
Yes, this is a wonderful development. It's, as someone who travels that particular stretch of road almost every work day, I think it's a great step for Nanup, and it's going to make that section of road safer for all road users, locals, visitors, everyone. Thank you. And I'd just like to add the thanks to Damien, not giving up. This has been a process that's been going on for years, and it's just through sheer godliness that actually got to the point where it's actually going to happen. So, to put the motion as it appears on page 50, all those in favour, carried unanimously. That brings us to the end of a very, very long agenda. Thank you all for being here with us. We can now, and we close the meeting at 5:51.